welcome to the Midweek Podcast, where we are equipping you to lead your everyday people to new life and new possibilities. And I want to thank you for joining us again for this new episode. And I also want to thank everyone who's been subscribing, tuning in, listening. We continue to receive just incredible positive feedback. Scott actually emailed in this week about last week's podcast with Miss Nicole and Pastor Jared. And we were talking about mental health in light of COVID-19. And Scott said this. He said, the podcast was great this week. As always, Nicole is very talented and Jared was very candid and courageous in sharing. I hope people are taking advantage of this opportunity. And Scott, I'm with you. I too hope that people are taking the advantage to subscribe, to tune in, and to listen each and every week to the Midweek Podcast, because our goal, like I say every week, is truly to equip you to embrace the responsibility to lead your everyday people to new life and new possibilities. And so today, I have a special guest with me on the podcast. I have Rachel Mellon from Cornerstone Pregnancy Center. And so, Rachel, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself to everybody?
Yeah. Hey, thanks for having me today. I'm so excited to be here to share about Cornerstone Pregnancy Services. Little shout out to my mom and dad, Troy and Sue Dotson. I know you guys will be listening. Thanks for all you do. And
yeah, freshman superheroes.
Yeah, superheroes for sure. To my personal life too. Love you guys, and excited to be here representing a ministry that's near and dear to my family's heart. I am the director of communication and donor relations for Cornerstone Pregnancy Services. And essentially what that means is I, am communicating our mission and our vision to the community, to donors, and to clients. I do that through social media. I do all of our content. If you guys haven't liked our Friends of Cornerstone Facebook page, go ahead and go like that right now.
just hit pause. Yeah. You can pause it and go do that.
Yeah. Go and like that. Help us out. That will give you tons of information on what's going on with Cornerstone, events that we have going on, programs that we're introducing, all sorts of things. All of that is stuff that I do. I create the content, the graphics, the videos. I do newsletters for Cornerstone. So any kind of communication that needs to go out to our donors, I'm responsible for. I also work very closely with our executive director to execute our events that we have going on throughout the year. So we have three major fundraising events. The Baby Bottle Blessing Campaign, which Freshwind has participated in years past, as well as our annual spring fundraiser, which I'll do just a little shout out for. Yeah. It's coming up on April 23rd, which is Friday evening. And we are super excited to be having Tony Evans come and speak at this year's annual spring fundraiser. It's big time because it's a big year. It's celebrating 35 years of ministry for Cornerstone Pregnancy Services.
Man, that's exciting.
Yeah.
35 years of work right here in our community. That is something to be celebrated. And man, who doesn't want to listen to Tony Evans?
I know. So I'll be getting you guys some more information here as we roll out all of that, because we want as many people to be able to participate as we can. It's going to be very exciting.
Yeah, that sounds like an incredible opportunity. And so definitely get us here at Freshwind the info on that. We'll make sure to blast that out.
Yeah, we're excited because we'll get to meet Tony Evans. That's pretty cool. You know, take a picture, put it on my, get that recognition, you know.
Right. Exercise that that marketing brain of yours.
And that'd be cool.
Man, you have an important role, Rachel, because you know, I think sometimes people look at nonprofits and like, why on earth do you need marketing for a nonprofit? But the reality is the work that you guys are doing is so important.
Yeah.
But who's going to know if we don't have people there who are communicating that message, and not just communicating it, but doing it effectively? Right. There's a lot of ways to communicate things. Not all of them are effective. And so I know even as a church, trying to balance that at times it is tough, but I think you do such a great job in that role. And I know I get the emails all the time, and you're constantly keeping me up to date. And then having mom and dad here at the church certainly helps. They walked in recently and they're like, hey, we got posters. Can we hang these up? And I'm like, absolutely. Yeah, go hang them up everywhere. Yep. Because we believe in what you do. And so I want to thank you so much for what you do there and all the work that you do in that ministry, because it's important. So why don't you give us a little bit more information? We're going to dig into some topics, but I think that there is, I don't know if it's confusion, but just unknown about what Cornerstone is, what kind of services you guys provide, what is your mission, what do you do as a ministry, as an organization? So why don't you tell us a little bit about Cornerstone?
Sure. So Cornerstone is a pregnancy resource center. And a lot of times there is confusion about what a pregnancy resource center is. A lot of things in our media and in our culture that like to kind of give mixed opinions of who we are and what we do. Yeah. And this whole movement, the pregnancy center movement, began back in 1973 when Roe v. Wade was passed, legalizing abortion in our nation. And so pregnancy resource centers wanted to do something to help women. Because a lot of times when we are seeing clients come in to the center, the reasons why they are seeking out an abortion are reasons that if they had the right support and resources, they could make a different choice. And so pregnancy resource centers come in and help to provide that.
I think that's an important clarification, is that a lot of this could be prevented if women just had access to the resources that they need. And so as you know, ministry, then Cornerstone's, I guess, mission is to step in and be that resource.
Right. Correct.
That's good stuff.
Yeah. And so you actually see more pregnancy resource centers around our nation than you do other types of women's clinics that are going to promote and perform abortion. So there are a lot of us out there and we're all connected and work together, which is also really a neat thing.
Yeah. I guess maybe the media doesn't let that information out because I did not know that.
Yeah.
You know, you hear a lot about Planned Parenthood and the abortion clinics. And their kind of movement, they get a lot of press time. I guess I never realized that you know, the pregnancy resource centers outnumber them.
Yes. And we're all
praise God for that. That's right. Exciting.
Amen. They're all funded by individual support and that kind of thing. You know, so these organizations are out there. There are many. I know just in this church alone, we had Cornerstone Pregnancy represented, but we also had Abigail Pregnancy Services represented through Carol. Yep. So you just look in this region alone, we have more pregnancy centers than we do abortion centers. So
I did not know that. Man, that is exciting. Praise God for that.
Yeah. So Cornerstone got its beginnings back in 1985 when Reverend Bill Williams from Church of the Open Door, his heart was pricked by the Lord to do something. Our area, because he was seeing these centers pop up around the nation due to Roe v. Wade, he knew we needed to have something here to serve our community. So he went to prayer with a bunch of people from Open Door, and Cornerstone was kind of birthed, no pun intended, out of out of his, you know, just desire to fulfill and be obedient to what the Lord had called him to do. So in 1986, Cornerstone opened their first center on Abbey Road, right across from Lorain County Community College. We then moved to a house on Middle Avenue and were there for several years serving the community. And then in 2006, we were gifted the building that we're in now, which is a huge space and such a blessing.
Yeah.
We're able to provide medical services and client services. And for a while, we had a thrift store in there, which no longer is there. And I get people in the community that are pretty sad about that. but we are just so blessed with the space that we've had. Like I said, 35 years of service we're coming up on here in 2021.
All because God pricked the heart of one man who began to pray and say, God, what would you have me do? I think, man, if we could, as believers, as the body of Christ, realize that, I mean, how many, and you know, I know that you have the stats for at least this year of how many lives have been impacted by your guys' ministry and the work that you're doing. But just, I mean, if we could extrapolate that all the way back to 1986, when it opened, and when Cornerstone opened their doors, and just all the lives that have been impacted, the lives that, you know, have been born and birthed, people who were thinking about having an abortion but decided not to because of someone at Cornerstone, or you know, even someone at Abigail Ministries. Shout out again to Carol. We love you, Carol. Thank you for all that you do, even though she's retired now. Yeah. But I know that she still has a big heart for this.
Yeah.
But just to think, you know, each one of those lives and then the lives that they helped bring into the world. I mean, it's just exponential.
Right.
And what God can do through one person who says, Lord, here I am. Send me. What can I do? What can I do in this moment, in this area, in this time, that's going to make a difference? And thank the Lord for Bill Williams. That's
our executive director. She, and I'll probably butcher this because I wasn't planning to say this, but she said, really, we're working to change generational directions when people are coming in. So they're coming in the work that we're doing, the trajectory of their future changes. I mean, through the gospel that we share and through just the new life and new experiences that can be provided. Yeah. And so we're really in the work of changing that, you know, breaking old habits and, you know, starting new ones and that new life that can be found in Christ. So,
yeah, because it's not just one life that's saved. It's the life of every child that follows, you know, family trees are forever changed. Right. Every time one person walks in the Cornerstone and chooses life. And that's so exciting. And so that's why the work you guys are doing is so important. And so what services, I guess, does Cornerstone provide to women, to men, potentially in our community who are asking these questions? You know, maybe they're having an unplanned pregnancy right now. Maybe they're just, you know, they had a pregnancy, but now there's so much confusion or there's fear. What am I going to do? How can I provide? And so all these questions start to pop up into their minds. How does Cornerstone step into these situations, and what resources do you guys provide?
Yeah. So we provide a bunch of different kinds of services. One of the parts of our building is our medical office. So down there, you're going to see us providing pregnancy tests and ultrasounds all for free. When women go to a clinic like a Planned Parenthood, they're going to have to pay for all of those services, where Cornerstone is able to provide them to them for free.
Again, information I'm learning for the first time is that free of charge, a woman in this situation can walk in and have these services provided to her. Mm-hmm. And this is all possible because you said a private donor's making donations.
Yeah. And just over the recent year, our new executive director, she is very grant driven. So she's been able to find grants to help bring in income for these new programs. We're just always very cautious about the grants we go for because we never want to compromise our mission.
Right. What strings are tied to those?
Yeah.
And so that definitely becomes an important question to figure out and determine when taking those grants. But man, just one, I think more money should be granted towards organizations who are pro-life, helping to protect and bring forth life, not end it. I think that would be an important thing. No strings attached, period. But then to realize, man, as private citizens, we have a responsibility here to continue to allow these services to be provided. I didn't realize that all of this you guys offer, I guess, free, in contrast to someone like Planned Parenthood, who's going to charge people every time they come in for one of these.
Right. Yeah. So that is one really great benefit to us. And with the ultrasound, statistics show that a woman who sees her ultrasound, if she's coming into our center, what we would call abortion-minded or determined, meaning that's the choice that she is thinking she's going to go with. If she comes in and she has an ultrasound done, we show her ultrasound. So she is able to see her baby on the screen moving. And statistically, it says that 90% of women who see their ultrasound will leave making the choice for life.
90.
Yeah.
That's an overwhelming statistic.
Yeah.
Not like 10, not 20, not even 50.
Right.
90%.
It's very important, and we're blessed because not all pregnancy centers are able to offer that free ultrasound. But the Lord blessed us, I think, back in 2004 with an ultrasound. And since then, we've been able to upgrade when we did our mobile unit, because we were also out on a mobile unit in different communities. And so we have two ultrasounds. So we're able to do ultrasounds and just be able to show the woman her baby. Because at these other centers, pregnancy places like Planned Parenthood, they're not going to show her ultrasound.
So if a woman goes into Planned Parenthood and has an ultrasound, mm-hmm. the likelihood of her ever seeing those images is,
it's non-existent? Rare. Yeah. Rare? It's mostly just for the the people working there. They're just trying to determine how far along she is. So then you can determine what type of abortion she needs. So it's not, they're not going to show her ultrasound. And so we show her because we want her to see that life, because we know that statistics show that it changes minds.
I mean, just, I think, how could it not? You know, it's so undeniable. Mm-hmm. You know, having four kids and have been in a lot of doctor's appointments with my wife and seen my share of ultrasounds. I mean, at a very young mm-hmm. age, you know, they already start looking like babies and little humans in there. How right. could you look at that and say, that's not life? Mm-hmm. And I remember, can't remember if it was the Great Lakes Science Center, but I think it's COSI down in Columbus. And they have this whole kind of wing associated to life and, you know, birth. I don't remember what all is in there, but I remember they had this one illustration of what a baby looks like in the womb at, you know, 1 week, 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, all the way up to 9 months. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing how soon those babies look like babies. You know, it goes from being this kind of creepy alien looking thing to, mm-hmm. oh my gosh, that's my little boy. That's my little girl.
Yeah.
And what an amazing resource to be able to walk into Cornerstone mm-hmm. and be able to see that in for free.
Right.
And especially for someone who's contemplating having an abortion, I just, mm-hmm. the value of seeing that life, I think is obviously undeniable with 90% changing their mind. That's incredible.
Right. So that's why it's important that we're able to provide that for free. And I did have an opportunity to sit in on an ultrasound because we're a small organization. So when they're lacking in support down in medical, sometimes they'll call us up in corporate just to come because we have policies that we follow. And I did get to sit in on an ultrasound and I will never forget it because I've never had one personally myself. So I didn't really know what to expect. And it was just so moving. I remember I was trying just not to burst into tears. They just told me, just stand there and be quiet. And I just want to be like, oh gosh, this is so awesome. But then to see the joy in the woman as well, that's her baby. And then her partner got to come in. It was just such a joyous experience. He wanted to hug them and just control, you know, but it was just really neat. So that is awesome that we're able to provide that. We also do limited STI, which is sexually transmitted infection scanning and treatment. So we work with Mercy Hospital to be able to do that and provide that for the woman and her partner. We do options counseling. So when, like I said, when a woman comes in, we try to gauge where she's at. You know, in her decision-making process, is she going to choose the parent or is she abortion-minded or determined? And we just sit down with her and we talk through all of her options. So what parenting could look like, what adoption could look like, what the different abortion procedures are as well, because we want her to leave with all the information because ultimately the choice is in her hands. Yeah. We can only do as much as we can to encourage her, love her, and you know, be Christ to her before she leaves. And so it's our job to make sure that she has all the information she needs to make the best decision that she can. And so that's a part of what we do. Our volunteers and our staff are trained to do that. And then we have a life education program. So if a mom comes in and she says, one of the things is, I don't even know how to be a parent. I can't even take care of myself or things like that. We can put her in our life education classes, which are free. They talk about parenting, childbirth. We do finance classes on like budgeting, like all sorts of different things in our Life Edu program. And for each hour of class that she takes, she gets what we call a baby buck. And those baby bucks are $15 to $20 worth in value. So for each hour of class she takes, she gets a baby buck. And then she can use those baby bucks to shop in our boutique to buy anything that she needs for her baby. So all the items in our boutique are brand new. They get donated to us through churches, community members who have done donation drives. And it's just that ownership for her of being able to learn and then purchase those things. It just means a lot to them.
And then, you know, I think that there is a perception, and we'll probably dive into this a little bit more, but that pro-lifers in general, pregnancy center, resource centers, that they only care about that baby. Mm-hmm. But then here it's like, no. We are preparing this woman, not just for this baby in this moment, but really for the rest of her life.
Yeah.
I think that kind of just begins to just pour water onto the fire that people try to light and say, no, that's while we do care immensely about this mm-hmm. baby, we also care about the mom.
Right.
And we also care about that baby post-delivery, that we're not just letting this mom have a baby and then sending them out into the world and hoping they make it.
Right.
But we're actually taking steps now while she's still pregnant to begin to prepare her for her future.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Cornerstone follows along with the mom up to 2 years after the baby is born. So to say that we're only focused on the baby, it is kind of just deception. It's
insulting.
Yeah.
to follow and track with a mom for 2 years. I mean, really sets both her and that child up for life. I mean, someone could say, well, you should do it till they're 18. Maybe. I mean, that'd be great if the resources were there. You know, you had the finances, you had the volunteers to do something like that. But man, so much shaping and development takes place in those first 2 years. And then so much growth in that mom takes place, especially in a new mom who's never had a child before. Again, just being a dad who's walked through having a child. Those first 2 years will change your life forever. To have someone who's walking alongside you in those moments as a resource, as a friend, as someone who's there just to maybe at times encourage you, to mentor you, and help you out along the way is absolutely invaluable.
Right. And if mom were to have another baby, even within those 2 years, then she just adds more time onto her experience with us as well, because we don't just discard the other baby, you know, we continue to follow, and it's just building up a sustainable future for them. So if we're connected with other organizations in our community, if she is lacking for a place to live or a job or anything like that, we can connect her with the resources that she needs so that she can have that sustainability moving forward. And we have a mom's club that we connect all these moms into. It's probably one of our most thriving things, I think, in some ways at Cornerstone. This mom's club meets every other Wednesday. Well, before COVID, I'll just say that.
Pre-COVID.
Yeah, pre-COVID. They were meeting every other Wednesday, and they would have a time of fellowship. They would have a message. These are just volunteers in our community who come in and lead this. They would prepare a message, a time of worship, fellowship, and food for these moms. We would have babysitting because we provide childcare, because we don't ever want a mom to say, well, I can't participate in this program because I don't have anybody to watch my kid. And so we provide that childcare so that she can come and get the services she needs. And we're also serving men now. So we have a new men's program that just started up. Pastor Dan Sams.
My buddy Dan.
Yeah, Pastor Dan Sams. We are just thrilled to have him on staff. He has really brought a lot of laughter to our staff meetings.
I would imagine that to be true.
Yes, he says the darndest things. You know, this is like, woo. But it's been fun to have him. And he's doing a great job. Of course, he started right before COVID as well. So he's been kind of on halt as far as what he's going to be doing. But he will be having some classes for dads. And when a partner comes with the woman, when she comes for her appointment, he ministers to them down in his office in that area, because he can't, technically with the COVID stuff right now, we can't have them together because of social distancing and all that stuff. But Dan is able to minister to the man while she is going through her appointment. So we see, you know, a big issue just in our culture, in not even just with this issue, is the lack of fathers in homes. And so we see that this is so important to be ministering to the men as well, teaching them how to be fathers and being that support, because maybe they've never seen an example of a good father.
And I think that's something that for years, at least from the outside looking in, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, but from the outside looking in, I think that's a missing element to this is rightly most of the focus has been on the mom and the baby. Mm-hmm. But as you're saying, there is such an important role of having that dad involved that lets the mom to be know like, we're going to get through this, that I'm not alone in this. And having the dad be there, I think is huge, both for her mentally and emotionally, but then also for that baby, the difference that it makes. And I mean, you just look at all those studies that have shown the importance of having a dad figure in a child's life. And, you know, what that does for their future, you know, when it comes to drugs and gangs and imprisonment and all of these things, the success that they have, the college degrees they have, the potential, you know, chance for earning money and all those things. I mean, having a dad in the picture helps in every single one of those categories. Right. I mean, there's not one area that is not benefited, you know? Mm-hmm. And I mean, I guess if there's bad dads out there, you know? And so I guess in those situations, but generally speaking, when dads are involved, lives are better. And so I think that's huge. And what a blessing that we have that happening right here in our community for Cornerstone to see that need, step up to the plate and say, hey, how are we going to step into that moment and make a difference?
Yeah.
Thank you guys for doing
it. It's important. We see that laid out for us biblically and how God created the union of man and woman. And so we need to be pouring into him as well. It's very important to us and to the structure of the family. So again, it's not just the baby we care about. It's the whole family that Pregnancy Resources are really focusing on, at least ours. I can only, I guess, speak for Cornerstone, but that's what I, you know, that's our heart. That's our mission to speak into the woman, the baby, the family unit.
That's incredible.
So we're excited about that. And then we also have the doula services that are new as well. So a doula is a woman that will walk through a woman's pregnancy, her labor and her delivery with her and just provide for her support and anything that she needs during that time. So if a woman comes in and she's like, I have nobody to support me through this pregnancy, you know, mom's not in the picture, the partner's not in the picture, the doula really can step in and be that support. And even if they are in the picture, doulas still can support in other ways that moms or partners or anybody like that could. So we're really blessed to be able to have several doulas that we have contracted to come in and support our moms in that way. So again, that's another thing that we're pouring into the woman.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And then our last service I wanted to talk about, and I was leaving this one for the end because it's oftentimes something people don't realize exists. And so one of the ways that women are seeking abortion is the abortion pill. And so we are able to help perform an abortion pill reversal.
Wow. I did not know that was a thing.
Right. Yeah. A lot of people don't. A doctor, I believe out in California, was the one that kind of discovered how they can reverse the situation. And it's just simply by giving the woman's system an overload of progesterone. So when a woman goes and takes her first pill for the abortion pill, if she has regret, she can call the abortion pill hotline or abortion pill reversal hotline. And that hotline will connect her to us if she's in our area. Our executive director is able to connect with a doctor who supports our ministry from Mercy Hospital, and he will write a prescription and get it in as soon as he can for her. So they've gotten calls in the middle of the night for this, early morning, and within an hour, he can have a prescription waiting for her because it's very time sensitive. Yeah. So if we want to see it work, it used to be within the first 48 hours that we had to get it in her system. Now it's 24. So we don't know that if the abortion industry has caught wind that there is a reversal and has made things stronger. You know, we just don't know because now we're seeing that window shrink smaller and smaller and smaller. And so we are seeing more clients that are coming to us by finding that abortion pill reversal hotline.
Well, let's, if you could get me that number, we will post it in the show notes. And so if anyone is listening to this, if you know somebody who, you know, considered that, or has already done that, We'll post that number right in the show notes so that you can reach out and call them today.
Yeah, definitely. I think, like I said, a lot of people don't know that that's something that exists. And so we're really trying to talk about that more and more just so people are aware. Because many times when a woman does take that first pill, she will have that remorse or regret. And if she knew that she could reverse it, you know, that is just so important.
Yeah. So, Rachel, as we kind of talk about all the services that you guys offer, I know that truly the heartbeat of Cornerstone is that you guys are a ministry. You're not just an organization, you're a ministry. Mm-hmm. And so what role does the gospel play in conversations that you have with people and the resources that you offer and just kind of your mission as a whole? Where does the gospel, I guess, fit into all of that?
Right. The gospel is our foundation of everything that we do at Cornerstone.
Amen.
Yeah. So and it should be, right? So it's the example, you know, Jesus sets the example for us and how we are to interact with our clients and to love our clients and to meet our clients. And so we as a staff, as a board, as volunteers, we all have that relationship with the Lord and that firm foundation that we need to be able to minister well to our clients. And then we also give every client an opportunity to hear the gospel. That is our ultimate goal. It's to save lives both in the physical and the spiritual realm. So
that sounds a lot like the mission statement here, new life and new possibilities. Right. We're about both.
Yes. Yeah. So each client that comes in, when she's in that options counseling, the intake as a client, they give her the opportunity. Would you like to hear the gospel? Now she can say no, and we'll leave it at that. Sometimes when she says no, she still wants you to pray for her. So, you know, there's something there, you know. But we also send them home with tracts and things like that. So the gospel is leaving with them, even if they don't want to hear it. And if they do, then they walk them through the process. Let me see here. Last year, we shared the gospel 167 times, and there were 38 new professions of faith and 3 clients who rededicated their life to Christ.
Praise God.
So,
I mean, that is so exciting.
Yeah, that's a big piece of who we are. We want to see them, you know, live in that physical life, but we want to see them walk out, you know, spiritually alive. And walk in with the Lord. So
that's amazing. How many, you know, I know you just said that you were able to share the gospel 167 times, but how many clients, I guess, did you guys serve last year? What does that look like?
Yeah, so we had 584 client visits last year, and 207 of them were new clients.
I mean, that's more than a client a day, almost double.
Yeah.
I mean, 2 clients a day, almost, and 207 of them is brand new clients. And so, mm-hmm. I think, Rachel, that speaks a lot to the work that you do in getting the word out and that marketing aspect of making your services and what you guys offer known in the community. And I'm sure word of mouth, you know, all those different things, the churches that have partnered with you guys that continue to let people know about you and what you guys are doing. Man, that's amazing. 207 new clients, 584 mm-hmm. last year. Like I said, that's almost not quite to a day, but. Yeah. That's a lot of work to do.
Yeah.
Important sure. work. And because as we kind of dig into the meat of this, what this is all really about is life, the sanctity of life. And so what, I guess, would you say, because again, you guys are not just an organization, you're a ministry. What is the sanctity of human life? How do you guys see that as defined in scriptures? Why is this important? Why do we need to be talking about this, having these conversations? Why is this such an important topic?
Right. We actually have the sanctity of human life as one of our values at Cornerstone. It's one of the top ones that we have. And we've defined it as every person born and unborn is created in the image of God and has inherent value. And so that is one of our values that we live by. And the value that we live by as individuals as well. So I think, too, I wanted to make sure that we think about the sanctity of human life is not just a political issue, because right now we see the pro-life and everything so hot in the media and right. in our culture. And we as Christians need to realize that being pro-life is not a political issue, or believing in the sanctity of life. It is not a political issue. It's a spiritual mandate by God.
And that's an important distinction.
Yeah. And it's backed up in scripture. So in Genesis 1:27, it says, God created man in his own image, and in the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So each one of us is an image bearer of God.
And Rachel, I think that's so important, especially what you said there right at the end, that we are an image bearer of God. I was reading a book recently, and it kind of broke down the Hebrew of Genesis 1 and verses 26, 27, that whole kind of section where it says that we are created in the image of God. And I think the English language in general, we often have a hard time kind of translating some of the Hebrew and capturing the idea that it was trying to speak. Our vocabulary is just way more limited, I think, than there was. And so we see that image of God, and we have a tendency to try to define that as all these different attributes. You know, we're created in the image of God because we have an intelligence, or we have a soul or spirit. We have the ability to communicate with God or with other people. We have emotions and reasoning ability. And so it's all of these attributes. But I think that defining image bearing as an ability is a flawed approach from the very beginning, because potential personhood is not actual personhood. To say that, you know, this life in the womb has the potential to have all of these things, well, then it's not yet a life. And so that's, I think, the problem with that approach, is to define it as these attributes. I think a pro-choicer, you know, as if we're going to just kind of use those two labels, would be able to turn around and throw that right back in our face and say, well, this, you know, they would probably refer to it as an egg or fetus, an embryo. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have an intellectual ability. It doesn't have any reasoning ability. It doesn't have emotions yet. It certainly doesn't have, you know, the ability to communicate. It doesn't have those things. So it's not a human. Right. And so we can go ahead and perform this action because it's not a human. But to say that we are created in the image of God, I think a better word for in, if we could replace that word, would be as. Mm-hmm. We were created as the image of God. And I think that's what the Hebrew was trying to get across, yeah, is that we are created as the image of God. It's not a characteristic of humans. It's the definition. If you're a human, by definition, you are created as an image bearer of God. As humans, we are created to reflect God to the world. So it's not an ability we have. It's a status we have. We're supposed to be God's representatives on the earth. And so it doesn't matter, you know, how small that little boy or that little girl is. No, it doesn't matter how microscopic they are. He or she was created as God's image, right, to be an imager of God Most High. And that's why life matters. That's why life is so sacred, is because even in the womb, what did David say? Man, you knit me together there. Right. I think you were going to talk about that.
Oh, that's fine. Go for it.
Yeah. as you knit me together in my mother's womb, you right, know every little detail about me. Why? Because I was created, right, not just in the image of God, but yeah, as the image of God. I am supposed to reflect him to the world.
Right.
Man, that's so powerful.
It is. And it's definitely a message to be preached and talked about, you know, to the people, because I think there are so many misconceptions out there of when life begins and what life is. And when you look at Psalm 139:13, it says, "For you formed me my inward parts, you knitted me together in my mother's womb." We see that, you know, just because they don't necessarily have those qualities, God is still creating them with the fingers and the toes, yep, with the heartbeat. Those physical attributes are there. They're moving around in the womb. They're getting hiccups, you know, all sorts of different things, fingernails. And
I wonder if they hate hiccups as much as I do. Yeah. Like in the womb, do you hate hiccups as much as we do out here?
I would think crazy. So. I hate them too. I never really get hiccups. And when I do, I think I'm dying because I don't get them that often.
I feel like I get them all the time. And it's so annoying. And it's usually at the most inopportune time. Right. Like you're in an important meeting and now you have hiccups. Right. Where did that come from?
Everybody's like, really? Sorry. But yeah, so I think that we see that God says there that he formed us. And then in Jeremiah 1:5, he talked about, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." So we see that there, even before we're in the womb. So we see that life being started in the womb in 139, Psalm 139. But then in Jeremiah 1:5, before we were even in the womb, God knew us and gave us purpose.
consecrated, set us apart.
Right.
And then to say, I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Again, go reflect me.
Right.
Go image me to the nations, to the worlds, to your communities, to your families. That's why life is important.
Right.
And it's more than an egg or fetus. And I guess, man, it just bothers me because you can see the physical characteristics on the ultrasound or at COSI, the Science Center, right? You can see it there. But then beyond that, to say, man, that little boy, that little girl is created in and as the image of God in the world. Yeah. And it's worth protecting.
Right.
Absolutely. So in light of that, knowing that we are called to be the image of God, image bearers of God, and life is worth protecting, what can we do as a church to actively uphold the sanctity of life?
Yeah, so I would say that it starts with, you know, realizing that the issue of abortion is not just happening in the world around us. Statistically, it's shown that 4 in 10 women who are seeking out an abortion are women who have professed a relationship with Christ and who attend church on a regular basis.
Wow.
So I think the first thing is to realize that this isn't just a world issue. This is a church issue too.
Right. Not just out there. It's happening here. Right. And I mean, I'm talking Big C Church. It's happening right here in the church. And so we can't be pointing fingers out there saying, you guys need to go get that fixed. We need to be looking amongst ourselves and saying, what can we do?
Well,
this is a problem.
And if you look at it and you say the church really starts working on this issue within the church, that's like, what, 40% of abortions that we could eliminate. If you think about that, right? That's a big statistic.
I don't know. Maybe you do, but then the number of abortions that take place a year. But I've heard it's a large number. Mm-hmm. And to think that 40% of those, I mean, if that's all we could ever do, and hopefully we can do much more than that.
Right.
But even 40%, again, that is the general generational change that you were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
Starting with just that 40%. Imagine what that would do long term for our families, for our country, and then for the world as a whole. Man, that'd be huge.
Right. So I think that's step one. We need to realize that it's happening here and that we have a role that we can play right here in, you know, changing the direction. You know, when these women are going to seek abortions, a lot of times if they're in the church, they go to have an abortion because of the shame that they can feel of having a baby outside of being married or, you know, something along those lines. If we can kind of eliminate that shame and have a conversation with her there, you know, about, you know, where she's at and even the sinful nature of it, but speak that message of grace, how much more could we change?
Yeah. I mean,
for her
to speak the truth in love.
Right. Speak the truth in love. Absolutely.
And it's easy. And I think as Christians, we've kind of fallen into that trap where it's easy to speak the truth. We all love that. You know, let's just give them the truth and, you know, start hitting people in the head with Bibles. But we forget that it's supposed to be speak the truth in love.
Right.
And man, grace is such an important thing.
Yeah.
And it breaks my heart when the church is represented in that way, you know, because I don't think Jesus would represent it that way.
Right.
And you just look at, you know, the woman caught in adultery. What a prime example of, you know, Jesus had every opportunity to condemn that woman. Yeah. And instead he looked around and said, he who's without sin, throw the first stone.
Right.
And then once everyone walked away because they all had sin in their life, Jesus looks at her and says, woman, where are your accusers? And she said, they've all gone. Didn't anyone accuse you? No. And Jesus says, neither do I. Right. But then he says, go and sin no more.
Right.
It's both. It's not one or the other. It's both.
Yep.
Truth and love. Woman, I don't accuse you. I'm not condemning you here. But go and sin no more. Grace, truth, love. So important.
Right. So we can be preaching those messages from the front. Anytime I get an opportunity to go out and speak to a church, that's always a message I want to convey is grace, because some of these women have gone and done that, had an abortion, and now they're sitting in their church feeling doubly shamed, you know, because I had gotten pregnant and now I've had an abortion and women aren't wanting to talk about it. They have nobody to talk about it with because they fear that shame and condemnation. And so if we can preach messages of grace to them and say, you know, the cross is for you. His blood has covered you and his grace, you know, just comes overwhelming to you, you know.
So good.
That message, it changes
them. We're
going
to turn this podcast right into a sermon.
Yeah.
This is good. I mean, and you could just see how intertwined the gospel and sanctity of human life is in all of this. You know, it's such an important piece and we can't remove one from the other.
Mm-hmm.
If life is sacred, it's because of the gospel.
Right.
Jesus thought enough to die for you.
Yeah.
Including that little baby.
Right.
Man, that's so good. We didn't mean to turn it into a sermon, but it's a good one.
You know what? Somebody probably maybe needed to hear it. You know, you never know. I've always been surprised speaking out how many people come up to me afterwards and say, I needed to hear that. Nobody has ever said that to me. And I've kept this to myself for 47 years. Wow. I mean, I had an experience like that. She just broke down and told me. I haven't shared it with anybody and it's been so long, but nobody ever told me that God forgave me and that his grace was for me.
That's so powerful.
And so that's why I said, we as churches, we need to be speaking that message over this issue because it is happening here. And then supporting pregnancy centers and things like that are good. This church does a great job of supporting Cornerstone and Abigail Pregnancy Services. And then I like to call them life advocates. So raising up people in your church who are there to minister to that woman or to that man even, because we recognize that abortion has affected men as well. And so being able to minister to them and disciple them in that moment and in that time. If they are in an unplanned pregnancy, they know that this is a safe place to be able to come and talk to the church, and then the church can come around and support and speak truth and love.
And I would love, you know, if you're listening to this podcast and you hear that life advocate and you think, man, that's something that you'd be interested in being involved in, I'd love for you to reach out to us and we can work with Rachel and Cornerstone in developing a process to help prepare you to be that. I think what an incredible resource that could be for people.
Right. We have a Making Life Disciples program actually that we could connect people to that would be, you know, some attending of classes just to learn how you could talk to a person who is in that situation. Because it's important we say the right things because the wrong thing can spin somebody off in the wrong direction.
I tell people all the time, the right thing said the wrong way is the wrong thing.
Right. Yes.
So yeah, saying things the right way is important.
Yeah. So we can offer training to you guys so that you can feel confident in being able to minister and disciple. And that's something we would love to see more churches really get involved in because when, you know, obviously we can only serve our clients Monday through Friday during our office hours. Our heart's desire is to connect our clients with church communities who are going to accept them, love them, and help them grow in their relationship with the Lord.
Absolutely.
So that is a big piece of what we do too. And so it's just churches being willing and open to say, hey, if you have a client and she's from the area, like we'll help get her in church. You know, even if it's somebody picking her up on a Sunday morning or whatever it might be, just having church communities who are open and ready to accept her and help her.
That's good. Again, guys, if you're listening to this podcast and that's striking a chord with you, please send us an email, info@afreshwind.org. And we will do everything we can to get you connected with Cornerstone and Rachel and these classes, because this is an important opportunity that, man, we have an opportunity to really make a difference. So that's great. Rachel, I know that you guys have an event coming up and I'd love for you to tell us a little bit about that event. It is coming up like this weekend, right?
Yeah.
So exactly. It's right around the corner. And so tell us a little bit about that and how people can get involved.
Yeah. So we have our annual Walk for Life that is coming up on Saturday, October 10th. It's going to be at our center located on Griswold Road. Registration opens at 9:30 and then our program's going to start at 10. People who are interested in coming to the program is just going to include prayer, a time of worship and a message from our executive director. And then we go on about a 2-mile walk up West River Road by the mall there. And we have signs. I know my dad and Jimmy are working on some signs for us so that we can be able to carry those up the road as we go. And it's just going to be a really great time. We are taking the precautions with COVID. So people wear masks and, you know, mind their distance from people as we walk and as we gather. And it's just going to be a great time. If you are interested in participating or even giving, let's say you can't come, but you would like to donate to the fundraiser, you can go to our event website at cornerstonepregnancy.org and click on our events tab and choose Walk for Life. All the information you need to know is there to register or even just to give. I know Troy Dotson is walking, so if you want to go and support him, you can. If you want to support me, you can do that as well. We're both walking together, or just give a general donation. And that would help us. We have a goal of raising $15,000. We're about $6,000 in. So we have a ways to go, but we know this is usually how it goes. And the Lord always surprises us. So,
yeah. So we'll post that link in the show notes so that I don't want you taking out your phone or something, trying to text and drive at the same time. But yeah, we'll post a link there so that if you would like to make a donation, you can just click that link and go there and do that. And Rachel, I wanted to let you know before we got together today to talk about this, I looked up and I saw that you were, you and your dad were both trying to raise money. You had a goal. Mm-hmm. I think you set a pretty ambitious goal. I think 1500.
Yeah.
Right. So that's 10% of the overall goal. Yeah,
I like to go and get it.
You go know? Big. And I think you were just under $500 short of that.
I now am just over 1,000.
Just over 1,000?
Yeah. So I got a little ways to go, but.
Well, you don't have a ways to go anymore because as a church, we're going to go ahead and help you reach that goal. Awesome. We'll take you to the $1,500. and Troy, maybe we'll do something for you too. I don't want to leave him out, but yeah,
you know, this is my dad. I just need to share this. Last year I didn't quite make my goal. So he took all the money he raised and gave it to me and said, somebody donated this to you. But Dad, I know that that was money that you had collected. And so I just want you to know, you know, that's just how awesome he is too. So if anybody really does want to donate to Troy, it probably will come back to me.
He is. He's certainly like that. Always looking out, especially for his kids.
Oh yeah.
Man, good stuff. So Rachel, I want to thank you for that. And we do, we believe in what you're doing, the mission of Cornerstone. And we think this work that you guys are doing is so valuable. And so we want to make an investment there as a church. And so we're going to go ahead and help you reach that goal and get you at least 10% of the way to the overall goal.
Awesome. And thank you.
If you're listening today and you want to make a donation, like I said, we'll post that link in the show notes and you can go ahead and make a donation. Please help them reach that goal because this is important stuff. But beyond giving financially, and I know people can set up monthly or quarterly giving, you know, they can set all that up. But what are some other ways that if people are saying, hey, money's pretty tight right now, I don't know that I can make a financial contribution, what are some other ways that people could get involved?
Yeah. So we have volunteer opportunities. Like I had mentioned earlier, when we offer classes, we need childcare. So anybody who is able to come and loves hanging out with kids, come and just help us out during that hour class or 2-hour class just to watch over some kids. That's one way. We have volunteers who work with our clients. They do the intake process. So they're the ones kind of counseling them through their pregnancy options and sharing the gospel. We need volunteers like that. We also need volunteers in the corporate end as well. So people who are willing to come and, you know, stuff newsletters into envelopes or help with an event. I have a marketing committee that I have put together. So anybody with that marketing eye and that love and that passion can come and help with marketing strategies as well as event planning and coordinating, all of that stuff. So there's really something for anybody there volunteer wise.
Yeah. It sounds like no matter what your skill set, I mean, stuff an envelope. Whatever skills you have, if you're saying, man, this is something that really resonates with me. I want to get involved. At the very least, you can stuff envelopes.
Right.
But so many opportunities to go get your foot in the door, get involved here and really start making a difference in the lives of moms and kids and dads right here in our community.
Right. Absolutely. And if volunteering, you don't really have time to do that, we also have a prayer as an option for a way that you can get involved. The first Wednesday of every month, we do intercessory prayer, which invites community members to come and pray with us, our staff at Cornerstone. And it's a smaller group, but we would love to see God pack that room out with prayerful people that are just coming to pray for our community, pray for the ministry. I mean, we pray for whatever the Lord is guiding us to pray for.
Yeah.
And so we have that. And then we also just started our mobile prayer team. So what this is essentially you sign up to receive texts when we have a client in the center who is abortion minded or determined. We send out a text and we just ask people to pray because there's a lot of spiritual warfare around that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so the more people we can get praying for her, praying for our volunteers and our staff, the better. And so we pray for her throughout that process. Mm-hmm. If Cornerstone has any other prayer needs, we send them out via text.
That.
So you could get a text, you know, daily just saying, hey, pray now, you know, abortion minded client in center, and people can just stop and pray. And so
if you want
to be a part of that, go ahead and reach out and I'll sign you up on that. There is a short orientation process, just so that you can learn more about Cornerstone. And then you can be a part of that. Get those daily texts.
That's super. Mm-hmm. Rachel, thank you again for coming in and talking about this topic. Like we've said, it is so important. And I know that there is so much wrapped up into this. It has definitely become a political issue for people, and a hot button talking point. But I think today we've dispelled that a little bit. Mm-hmm. This is a spiritual mandate. I think it's what how you defined it earlier. And this is something that as the church, we have got to be serious about, mm-hmm. especially when 40% is taking place. If 40% of abortions is taking place right within the church.
Right.
We have got to take this seriously. And so I think that this information was incredibly helpful, mm-hmm. Getting a chance to understand what you guys offer as a ministry, what that can, the whole Pregnancy Resource Center is as a whole. Mm-hmm. I'm so encouraged to hear some of the numbers that you gave today. The fact that you guys far outnumber abortion clinics is incredible. I love that. The fact that you guys are starting to get grants is to help aid that work, the resources that you provide for free. So much of that is so encouraging to me that you've stepped up and are now resourcing dads. And it's not, like we said, it's not just about that mom and that baby for a moment. Mm-hmm. It's really, how do we prepare them? How do we walk with them so that they have a successful life, a fruitful life, and more importantly, a life that's bathed in the gospel.
Right.
I love it. So thank you so much, Rachel. Before I pray and close this out, do you have any closing announcements you want to get out?
Just thank you so much for having me on and supporting the walk. That's huge. I know all of our staff members we have a little staff competition going to see who could raise the most money. And they just look at me and go, oh, every day. So thanks for helping me out there. But it's for a great cause. And so I just always appreciate your guys' support, from the baby bottle, you know, blessings that you've done here, to the walk, and just being so supportive, having me to come and talk and do this. It means a lot. So thanks.
You're welcome. It means a lot that you would come and be on the podcast with us. And I hope for everyone listening that this was as insightful for you as it was for me. And this is good information, again, to, you know, say it all the time, but trying to equip you to lead your everyday people to new life, new possibilities. That's never more true than with this topic that we're talking about today. And so I hope that you'll use this information. Please, if you know someone who's contemplating any of this, please share this podcast with them. And we'll put links to Cornerstone and Rachel so that they can reach out and get access to the help that they need.
Yeah.
Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you so much for an opportunity to have this conversation. And I pray that these words that we spoke today, that they would be bathed in love, that the truth would be spoken and proclaimed, but that we would do it in love always first. And that anybody who's listening, who's experienced this, who's contemplated this, who might be considering it right now, Father, I pray that your grace would be evident and sufficient, and that they would know that there are resources and people who are standing by to help them walk through this, and that life can be chosen. And so, Father, I pray for every life that Cornerstone gets to impact, that you would multiply their influence and impact, and that generational change will come because of the work that they're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, thank you for tuning in to the Midweek Podcast. We'll talk to you soon.